Hey everybody, Sarah is back. Today I have Zanilia Harris here. Woohoo! Hey Zanilia.
Woohoo!
Hey everyone, this is Sarah, and welcome to my show. Woohoo!
Cool. Normally I get a really boring response. Anyways, you know, I've been having advisors on to tell their story. I think that Zanilia has a really interesting story in so many ways. You know, diversity is one of the topics we've been discussing. But more than diversity, I think Zanilia has a great message about overcoming obstacles that sometimes we are the ones, or how we are raised, can bring to us. So take it away.
Thank you for having me, Sarah. I really appreciate this opportunity to share my perspective. So definitely, you know, when people look at me, I think one of the things that I get from people is that, oh my God, you're so confident, or, oh my God, you're just, you're very articulate. Oh my God, you just seem like you're just on top of the world with all the things that you're doing. And what people really don't realize is that I do those things because I force myself to. And I am not always the most confident. I am not always the one that appreciates being in the limelight. So it's extremely hard for me to even put myself out there, and people may not realize that. I do it because if an opportunity presents itself to me, I've told myself that no matter what, that I will overcome that fear. So if it falls in my lap, I feel like then this opportunity is for me. So I step into it, but it takes me really doing a lot of self-talk in order to do it.
So where did all of this come from? So maybe just talk about like your practice and who you serve and, you know, how you came into this success.
So I always knew that I wanted to own my own business. And when I was in college, I kind of was on this quest to learn as much as I could about money. That's kind of where it started. And it was because of how I grew up. I was raised by my grandmother in a small rural community in Southern Virginia.
Uh-huh.
And being in that community, it was, I grew up in a very religious environment. Mm-hmm. So, and under that, the auspices of that organization or that church, I grew up seeing that women didn't have a voice, mm-hmm. or their voice was controlled. I would say that, they talked and different things like that, but it was, you know, I was constantly told that, you know, that women should never usurp authority over a man. Because that women should, you know, should never like be in charge of men. Like the people that rule are the men, and the women are the followers. And that they should control how they conduct themselves, control how they, what they say and what they don't say. And I didn't fit that. I really did not fit that mold because I had a voice and I had opinions and I had thoughts. And sometimes they just didn't align with how the environment that I grew up in. So with that, the idea of self-promotion connected with the fact that I was told that women should have a more reserved voice has been a major conflict, internal conflict for me, that I'm constantly overcoming.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I decided to start my own business, because even with that, I'm not saying that some of these women didn't start their own businesses, because I really don't know. But what I will say is that I know that what I saw growing up and what I wanted to be didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm looking at myself as that I'm going down this path that I'm going down this path that there is nowhere for me to look to see what success looks like. So I'm having to find it by, you know, reading about other people, because I didn't see that growing up. That's not something that I saw growing up. And so I'm constantly, you know, in my head telling myself that you can do this, and that this was placed into your life because this is what you're supposed to do. This is your passion and your purpose coming together. And so you need to fulfill it. And then I take that so wholeheartedly, because I feel that, you know, my legacy is for my daughter to see something totally different than what I saw.
Yeah.
The highest position I ever saw a woman hold in my community was a teacher.
Hmm.
Nothing beyond that.
Yeah.
That or being a wife of a pastor.
Yeah.
That was it. And, you know, now that I live in the DC metropolitan area and I look at all of these beautiful, successful women, and I'm saying, oh my God, I'm so grateful that my daughter gets to see that, but also that she gets to see me along this journey. And I'm pretty honest with her with the journey, but a lot of things that I do is because of the legacy I want to leave for her.
Yeah.
That's very, very important. And I have been fortunate along my journey that I have gotten quite a bit of publicity, and people actually like to listen to me, and people like to hear my story. So, you know, being in this business, because in being in the financial services industry, you know that part of it is that we really couldn't tell our story. We couldn't tell our authentic story. We were always masked behind a big, big corporation, and they controlled the narrative and they controlled our stories. And, you know, and so we had to portray ourselves a certain way. So in so many ways, it reminded me of how it was growing up. And so, you know, starting my own firm was all about, well, how do I tell my story? Well, what is my story?
Right.
I had to what is my story? Do I think that story is important? Because I had to become comfortable shedding, you know, I guess masking, you know, I guess coming from behind the mask and putting myself out there and being authentic to who Zanilia is. And the more that I do it, the more comfortable I become, because initially I wasn't comfortable with it. But the more that I do it, the more that I'm recognizing. And then, you know, also there's, you know, stats that support this. People can identify with people's stories. And, you know, they taught us when you're selling that you need to tell people's story. You need to tell stories because people connect the stories. But the stories were never our stories. And so... So now I'm at this place where, you know what, I'm like, I want to tell my story. And part of that story is, you know, coming out from behind the mask of what I saw growing up and being raised under, coming out of the mask of being ashamed of a medical condition that I have, where... When I started my business, I learned that I had a condition called alopecia.
Yeah.
And which is where your hair falls out in round patches all over your body. But for most people, it's more obvious because it's on your scalp. So you have, you know, round patches of hair loss. Uh-huh. And a lot of people may look at that and say, but, you know, you don't have cancer. And I don't. Thank God. So it's not that, but for women, we attach so much to our hair, and it plays into how we feel we are viewed, and it plays into how we feel we are seen in the world.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And going through all of that at the same time of starting a business was a mental challenge. And there are days, and I still deal with those, there are days where I don't always want to be seen. So what that means is that I will hide in my office. and I will not go out to be seen. And so I decided, I made a conscious decision this year that, because I thought I had overcome it, and then something happened, and all of my doubts and fears rose up again with me this year, and I decided that, you know what, I'm not going to let this stop me from the...
How did you overcome this, though? Like, what did you do mentally to overcome this fear?
So... I think I'm still overcoming it, Sarah. I don't think that when I look back and I say, well, what did you do? It was telling myself that my purpose is bigger than how I look. I mean, it's just me, I constantly keep it to myself and saying that I cannot hide. It's self-talk. So for me, it's been a lot of self-talk. It's been also being conscious about who I place myself around. So I'm really specific about the people that are in my circle. I like to be around people who challenge me to be better, who, in some cases, they just flat out tell me, like, really, Zanilia, like, are you really allowing this to hold you back? You have this beautiful opportunity in front of you, and you're going to walk away from it because of what? Your hair? You know,
so
between the self-talk and placing people around me who encourage me and support me, those are the things that have helped me.
Right.
You know?
Well, I think that this has a lesson for all of us, because whether it's over our hair or, you know, for some people it's physical, for other people it's maybe like our experience or different fears. Like, so much of business depends on your confidence.
Yes.
And I think all of us have these fears, you know, like I used to have acne, like really bad acne, cystic acne. I used to have it on my face, and I had a few really bad outbreaks in high school and college, and I used to get depressed about it. And it's so hard to go out there and be confident when there's something about you physically, and especially when it's on your face where people, you know, you get a lot of attention. It's what people look at, right? And I will tell you that I eventually overcame that through a medical treatment when I was in my 20s, but it was hard because I think I made a lot of decisions with business that I wouldn't have made if I had felt a little bit more confident.
Right.
And it stinks. Right. Like, now that I look back, I'm so mad about it. And I kind of wish that I had had that good support network of people that I let in that I could talk with. Like, I didn't really even talk about it with a lot of people.
Right.
You know, it was hard for me to publicly talk about it. And, like, I wish I had been a little smarter like you were and had said, you know, I'm going to get the people around me that are not going to let me succumb to this fear. And even to this day, I understand though what you mean about never completely overcoming fear. I mean, I think we're all, I don't know, maybe I feel like I haven't completely overcome it either, because sometimes, like this morning, my kids were doing Halloween stuff and one of them got like face paint on me and I'm like, oh my God, like this is good. I still have really sensitive skin and my kid, and I'm like, am I going to get a rash? Like, am
right.
I gonna get help from, and it's like, you kind of always... It's like a little twinge, you know?
Yes.
I mean, maybe I'll never, ever have it, but, you know, I still, so I understand this.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad, though, that you were able to go out there, and I think that you, what you've done, I mean, tell me who you work with in your practice.
So my focus is definitely on women, because I felt that women were overlooked in my workspace, where, you know, where I, when I worked at the big companies, I felt that there was no focus on how to communicate and engage women. And then I've refined it to, well, you know, to professional women. And then I refined it again to it being a major focus on women of color, specifically African-American women, because, you know, who's doing it? Who's going after us? No one.
Right.
You know, I mean, now I will tell you, I had a coach who encouraged me to do this when I first went into business. And I rejected that, and I at the time. And then I decided a couple of years ago that I need to embrace it because I am an African-American woman, and I want other African-American women to see that I'm out here and I'm here to help them succeed. Because I feel that when women are financially engaged, that that's what can change the financial trajectory of your family. Because women educate their children. They don't just educate their boys, but they will educate their girls. And so as women, the more that we become financially engaged in this process of protecting our families, because finances is one component of protecting our families, I think that that's one way to tackle income inequality.
Let me tell you, I have kids, and so I have like a million babysitters.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of babysitters from my neighborhood. And a lot of these women, like I only pay via, like electronically.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm not about having like $300 run in my wallet, you know?
Right, right.
And I can't have it anywhere in my house because my kids will get it, right?
Yes.
And it's like, and like shred it or something and think it's like a toy, okay?
Right.
So I'm like telling these women, I'm like, okay, I need to send you the money via like Venmo, PayPal, whatever. And they're like, oh, I don't have a bank account. I'm like, you got kids, you're out there earning money as a businesswoman, as a babysitter, right? Because that still counts as a business in a way.
Yes.
Right? Your own business, right? And I'm like, how are you going to not have your own bank account? And they're like, well, you know, my husband has one or my sister has one. And I'm like, so let me get this. Like, if you go home one day, your husband comes home one day from work and he hits you and you're going to have $20 because you don't have a bank account. The money's in his name. Like, what the heck are you going to do? I can't even believe that this is rampant in the area where I live. And it's so many women have said this to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, are you kidding me? It's not that I'm judging them, but I'm scared.
Right.
But I'm scared for them. What are you going to do? What kind of options does that create if you're not in control of your money?
I totally agree. I didn't get married young in my 20s. I got married in my 30s. And I'm so glad that I had that experience of being on my own because it gives me a different perspective. So while my husband and I think we look at each other as partners in the sense of, you know, there aren't like, I'm supposed to be in this role and he's supposed to be in this role. I don't think that that's how we look at our marriage. We spent 5 years before we got married, you know, dating each other. And I'm glad that we did that as well because it gave us an opportunity to really get to know each other. And so I asked him a question once and I said, do you trust me financially? I mean, do you think, you know, like, how do you view me from a, you know, with making financial decisions? And he said, you know, I trust that you will make great financial decisions because of what I know about you. And that you don't just go off and just haphazardly spend money, but you think through the decision before you make a purchase. Now, I think that a lot of people just fall into the same roles that they saw growing up. And so if you did not see, you know, and it's normal, right? Because that's what because a lot of things that you think don't affect you growing up, they do, and they influence your decisions. It's like you have to consciously make a decision as to what you want your life to be. But I think when we have families, we get comfortable with our focus is on the kids and making sure that they're okay, that if you can hand that aspect off, especially if it's something that you don't really enjoy, then you do. Oh, well, my husband can do that. So I'm good. So I can then focus on the things that are most important to me. So you're right. It's nothing against women who decide to make that choice. I say that if you do, it's just don't become disengaged with the whole financial process of that's happening within your family.
Right.
You know, if this is what you all are agreeing to, then you need to be, you know, I don't know about not having my own account, but, you know,
that's, I can't imagine that.
That's a little... on the other end for me, but that's because of the fact that I got married later and also the, you know, because of how I view money. And I like having control. So I will tell you that when my husband asked me to do a joint account, like, that was hard. I remember the feelings I felt. I was like, are you kidding me? No, I cannot.
Right.
You know, this
scary.
Is giving up too
no,
much
I
control.
Don't have any, I do not have any joint accounts. I had one once, but it was like, whew, as soon as the relationship ended, I was like, click, which was like number one thing on my list.
Right.
before go and get your, you know, before I, you know, go and get the couch back. It was like, click, Bank of America.
Right. I mean, and it's different for different people. So everyone is different. But for me, you know, based on my trust issues, and I admit that I have trust issues, you know, it was terrifying for me to open up a joint account with my husband.
Right. Right. So one point I just want to make, and thank you so much for being open and being vulnerable. It takes a tremendous amount of courage to say some of the things that you've said. And I love that you're not hiding. That's such an inspiration to me as I listen to your story. I just want to make the point to the advisors and to the people that are listening to the show. And it's that I love the point that you made then when you said, you know, we were taught that marketing was about telling stories, but it was never our story. It's always the right. Especially when you sell like life insurance, you know, I was in this life insurance training program and they were like, tell the story of the person that like, you know, the husband that, you know, the family and the husband died and the wife didn't have, you know, they didn't have enough money because they didn't have life insurance. And it's like, you know what, like be authentic. There's no substitute for authenticity. And what you gotta understand is people don't actually care. Like, no offense to this, but like people don't actually care that much about your hair or about my skin. They care about themselves at the end of the day.
Yes.
Right. And so sometimes I feel like what I've imposed on other people, how I've thought other people were looking at me was not at all how they were. My insecurities were a lot of times in my own mind. And what I've done in my business that's been really successful is I've found that getting other people to open up and talk to you and tell their story is way better than any story I could tell about me.
Exactly.
So
I agree.
You know, like in a way, because you were commenting before the show that, you know, I was always so scared to tell my story. And I'm like, I don't know that that's a, I mean, I don't know about the scared part of it, but like hesitant to tell my story, you know, kind of a feeling I think would be better. I think that is actually probably the best way to go about it, with this attitude of just open-mindedness and having a voracious hunger and appetite for finding the story of other people, having it just being intrigued by other people. I mean,
right.
Have you ever noticed, like, when someone is intrigued by you, it kind of makes you intrigued by them, because you're like, well, this person, like, I have this sometimes with people that, you know, follow me. And cause you know, I'm like you, I've got like the whole podcast and the whole public persona. Right. And people kind of ask me questions and they know a lot about me, and it kind of makes me intrigued by them back. It's like, you're intrigued by me, I'm intrigued by you back. You know what I'm saying? Like, what makes you so interested in me is my question to you. So, you know, and it's so effortless. Like, this will cost you no money to do. It's like, you don't even have to host the, you don't even have to pay for video hosting to do this.
Right. I think for me, with telling my story, and fear probably is probably not the best word. I was embarrassed by my story because I felt that to be in this industry, you have to come from a specific family background. I felt that you had to live a specific lifestyle or have lived a specific lifestyle in order to fit in. But it takes all kinds. And the more that I learn people's authentic stories, they're more interesting than the stories that we actually tell. You know, the fake storytelling that we actually have been taught to share to engage with clients. I just think people just want to know about you, you know, ask you, you know, questions about you, and then allow them to share their connection to that. because a lot, I always tell people that we're more alike than we are different. And
right.
People are really opening up about who they are, what influenced them, and, different situations that have happened in their life, you'll see this connection like, oh my God, you went through something similar. I mean, you just never know. But if you don't open up and share, you never get that. Because to me, that's like an aha moment.
Well, for me, it was when I have four kids. And so just raising them, I've seen that they all have their different personalities, and they definitely, all four of them, came into the world with such a different personality. But at the core of it, their behaviors are essentially the same.
Mm-hmm.
Four totally different people. It's been right. Very eye-opening for me. So listen, I think we're going to wrap here. Hey, Zanilia, I'm so glad that we had this conversation. Zanilia Harris, you can follow her. I'm going to include the link below. She has this great brand. She loves high heels. And so she's speaker and financial planner, author to the well-heeled woman. Love it. Thank you, Zanilia. I really have appreciated you here. And everybody, just if you want to connect with her, I'm going to tell you how in the show notes. Thank you so much, everybody. Please rate, subscribe, and review. See you next time.